and welcome to the 12 Man Rising podcast with Kevin Daggett and Lee Vallon, produced by the great Rob Still of Coil Entertainment. I'm Lee. Kevin, how are you?
I could be better. We could be playing football this weekend, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Seattle lost, of course, to the Cowboys on Saturday, wild card game. Just got outplayed, really. Seattle made some mistakes with penalties. Play calling was atrocious. And we're not going to spend the whole show on this sadness of losing to the Cowboys. But what are two or three takeaways from the game for you?
Why run the ball up the middle every time when it doesn't work? And why let that running back, what's his name, Elliott? Yeah, that guy. Why let him just run down your throat? I just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating thing is it wasn't even. It was when they ran the ball to me instead of how much they were running the ball, because they started 7 of their 13 drives with two straight runs. So you've already put your offense in a position of having been long, because the Cowboys, even though they just have 4 linemen, they're still stacking those linebackers up and have a secondary kind of. They're basically your receiver to beat them, because they're playing closer to the line, which everybody knows is the offense going to run the ball. It's just the frustrating thing was never adjusted to what the Cowboys were doing. And I know, as we talked about before the show, John Clayton on Monday thought, you know, if you're talking about Brian Schottenheimer being a big cause for the Seahawks loss, that you're simply wrong. And John Clayton knows a lot more about football than I ever would. And I think in this case, he's wrong. Because what happened was, when you run the ball, it's obvious that you're going to run the ball on first and second down, because they didn't play action that much. They hardly did any this year. When you run the ball on first and second down, and the other team is the whole game is stopping you first and second down, and you never adjust, never pick up first downs, and you keep your defense on the field too long, then you're going to have plays like where Dak Prescott ran up the middle on 3rd and 14 and basically closed out the game. You have to be able to, as an NFL offensive coordinator, or heck, a junior high offensive coordinator, you have to be able to adjust to what the other team's doing. And Brian Schottenheimer, for all the good he did, and he did some good things this season, adjust to what the Cowboys were doing, and they didn't adjust until the end. And, guess what? Tyler Lockett is the fastest guy on the field. Let's try throwing him the ball. Oh, it works. And, Doug Baldwin can catch just about anything in his way. Let's throw it to him. Why didn't they do that in the second quarter or the third quarter instead of wait until the end? It just, the play calling was atrocious, and that was the reason they lost. And then, of course, there were a couple of pass interference calls, as there seemed to be on third downs, and not first or second downs, but third downs. That happens a lot to the Seattle team this season. Justin Coleman's pass interference. I don't know what you thought about that. KJ Wright did have his arm around the guy. I mean, that's a bad call, but Justin Coleman was kind of a crock call, right?
Yeah. You know, and another thing, too, is we do still have Russell Wilson as our quarterback. And
wait, who's that?
He is.
Is that the backup of Brett Hundley?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he's got some pretty good weapons in his own back pocket. And I mean, when he ran those, those read option plays, well, he scored a touchdown on one, and, you know, it's just like, what are we doing? John Clayton may be the only one I've heard of that said it's not Schottenheimer's fault. Yeah, we got him into the playoffs. Okay, that's fine, but you can't, like you said, you have to adjust, and you can't just keep pounding it up the middle, and, oh, man, it's just ridiculous. You know, and once again, and I'm really disappointed with Dan Akowski's performance this year, because I had really high hopes for him. And, you know, when he first signed up, he's a lefty. I'm a lefty. I kicked. And, you know, I always liked that guy when he got drafted out of college. And he really disappointed me this year. And once again, you know, if he would have made a field goal, we would have won the game in theory, or at least we would have 3 more points. But, you know, and At the beginning of the year, I was real negative. I didn't think we were going to win four. We'd be lucky to win four games. And, you know, we ended up 10-6 in the regular season, and I was wrong, thank goodness. And, but, you know, I would have hoped that we could have done a lot more in the playoffs, but, you know, I guess we made it to the playoffs, and we do have a pretty solid team going into next year, I do believe. I think there's a lot of, you know, free agents up for sign, and some of those we got to let go. But, you know, so far we're looking pretty good for next year, I think.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about free agents too in just a second, but I think you're right. The sad part was the Janikowski. I mean, he seemed to get a little worse as the season went on. He had some game-winning field goals, and it was so better to have him than Bear Walsh than they had last season. Then when he went out, they just – and it's the – you know, it's how the NFL is. You're only going to have one kicker. But they clearly had no faith that Michael Dixon could kick a field goal. And they shouldn't, because that's not what he does. But if it had come down to a field goal, they wouldn't have done it. They had to go for two at the end. That didn't really help them.
No.
I mean, they kick a field goal, which they were never going to try, and that could have won the game if they'd got the onside kick. And then the onside kick didn't work. Again, Michael Dixon is not a person who kicks the ball off. He has to try to drop kick the onside kick, which is, like, impossible to do. And as it turned out, it was like, oh, that's probably the worst kick ever, because it just went downfield and it was caught, and that was it. There was no drama to it. But yeah, I mean, I agree. And Janikowski should be a 1-year rental, I think, not because he was bad this season overall, but just physically his body was breaking down at the end. I mean, pulled a hamstring, a thigh, and just couldn't kick. You know, a loss is a loss. The Cowboys probably aren't going to win the Super Bowl. Growing up, my dad always said, oh, if the team beats you in the playoffs, you want them to go on and win the Super Bowl, because, or whatever championship it was, because if you lost to them, then maybe if you had beat them, you could have done the same thing. But the Cowboys are not going to win the Super Bowl. They're just, you know, they're limited like the Seahawks were. So I had an article last week on 12th Man Rising about the MVPs of the Seahawks, offense, defense, and special teams for 2018 in the regular season. I didn't have Russell Wilson as the MVP of the offense because that's just too obvious. Oh, the quarterback. Oh, I was surprised. That takes no imagination. So my MVP of the offense was not Chris Carson either. It was Tyler Lockett, because of all the big plays that he had this year and changed the impact. He could have almost done it against the Cowboys, just changing the game. So many big plays. Defensively, I didn't have Bobby Wagner, even though, again, he probably was the best player for Seattle, but I had Jaron Reed because of what he allowed Frank Clark to be Frank Clark. He allowed Bobby Wagner to be Bobby Wagner, and Jaron Reed was a freaking beast this year. And the special teams had Michael Dixon, which was a no-brainer. If you had MVPs, who would they be for you?
Yeah, those are all good. I'd probably go with the obvious person, you know, either Wagner or Clark, and then obviously Dixon. But yeah, you could. There's a lot of people who contributed to that team this year, and you know, it's that young defense. Boy, they really stepped up. I'm really impressed with all those guys. You know, some of them made some mistakes, but hey, they're young, but you know, when that other guy, their safety, that's not going to be with us next year, went down. You haven't really heard his name mentioned. You know, none of this. I haven't heard. Well, if Earl Thomas was playing, it's like, no, Earl. It doesn't matter. Earl Thomas was out. The team said Earl Thomas is out. We're going to step up and we're going to do it. And so, you know, very, very impressed by that defense this year.
You know, even if Thomas had been healthy, I don't think he changes the season that much, at all, to be honest.
No. Because they did a good job. I mean, there wasn't really anything that you could say that's, if Thomas was in there, that wouldn't have happened. I don't think so.
Yeah, Delano Hill played well. Andrew Thompson, that'll be an interesting thing to see what happens with that, because Bradley McDougal, who you could make a case for a defensive MVP. Yeah. He'll be back next year for the next couple of years, and somebody to play beside him. It's truly not Earl Thomas, even though he's a free agent. Seahawks can re-sign him. There's no way that's going to happen.
Nope.
And they shouldn't spend that money, because Tedrick Thompson and Delano Hill proved this season that maybe they're not as good as Earl Thomas. I'm not saying they are, but they play the position well enough for the defense to be efficient. They don't have Earl Thomas. They didn't for most of the season. And, you know, whatever. Have any favorite moments from this season? I think if I had favorite moments, it's so many catches for Lockett. That was nice. I mean, Earl Thomas interceptions against the Cowboys, that was a nice moment. It was so many things that happened. Sorry, and this is way off track, but I wanted to get back to you people who John Clayton, maybe, who said that, you know, Brian Schottenheimer shouldn't be to blame. It happened earlier this season when they had to have that road game against Carolina, and Carolina is totally shutting down the run. They adjusted, and Russell Wilson basically took over that game, and they won the game by throwing the ball. They should have done the same thing against the Cowboys. But I'm finished with that, I promise. But you have any favorite moments from this season?
Yeah, it was just such a good season for something that I didn't expect much. I don't know that I have any real favorite ones. I like the throws down, the long throws down the field, the Lockett and Baldwin. I love that because the way Wilson, I don't know that there's any other quarterback in the NFL that throws that ball, but when he steps back and you know he's going to launch it, just that lob, you're. For me, it's like I just know it's going to get caught. It doesn't all the time, but it's like, oh, here we go. You know, he's letting it go. So I love those plays because they're Lockett and Baldwin are so damn fast. Even, you know, and I'm pretty sure Baldwin wasn't even 100%, probably maybe 85 or 90% all season, but he's still faster than the average cat out there. But that is probably just the, you know, and then Chris Carson really stepped up too. I was really impressed with him. He stayed healthy, you know, and that's been one of the issues with the Seahawks at running back these last few years is you get a good running back and then he gets hurt and then what do? But Carson stayed healthy all season and you know, Penny had a rough beginning to the year, but he showed up in the end and Davis did a good job too, but. Just overall, I think the team played well, better than I really expected.
Yeah, actually, three of my favorite plays might be in that Chiefs drive that really won the game, which is when they Wilson threw that really long pass to Lockett and threw it 100,000 feet in the air, and then the next play, Baldwin catches it one-handed, scores a touchdown, and the next person basically runs over to Chiefs and scores a touchdown. I think that was the. That's what the Seahawks offense, that was the best they were. That was an encapsulation of how good they could be this year and unfortunately weren't against the Cowboys. Any big, besides the Cowboys game, any big disappointments, any players that really kind of disappointed you? I guess the obvious one to me is Earl Thomas, obviously. I was disappointed in that Will Dissly got hurt so early because I think he's been a big factor this season. And, of course, the NFL spending Michael Kendricks for a nonviolent time for like half the season, then he comes back and I mean the beast that guy is broken playing on a broken for 40 snaps. But I think those are three big disappointments to me. What about you?
Yeah, that Kendricks, I would love to see that guy. I hope they sign that guy because I think he could be a huge factor and they might have to let one of the other. Sorry about that, but I'm one of,
is that
one of these
Kendrick
other.
Spectre?
Yeah, Kendrick heard me, and then Fetty at the beginning of the season with all those penalties and whatnot. But he seemed to get it together there towards the end. But the offensive holdings and offensive the false starts and that stuff just wears me out when they do that. I know the referees. For some reason, look a little closer at the Seahawks. At least I think they do for some of those offensive holding calls and things. But probably a pity at the beginning, but he came back and did well at the end.
Yeah, overall, I had a good season except for the one game where they played him, moved him to guard for no reason. To me, that's kind of weird. Draft needs. Obviously the big one is defensive end. Any other really big needs as far as getting, they don't have a lot of high draft choices. They're actually going to, I think 21st is what they're drafting in this year's draft in 2019, then they don't really have a whole lot of high draft.
They're not going to draft there. They'll trade that for six round picks. But I'd say probably an edge rusher for sure. But there is a few of them out there. You know, in college now, but another good solid safety.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, because I don't think necessarily the answer is Thompson or Hill. You could improve over those guys. I think they're good enough to play if they don't. But it would be. I mean, you know, you see what James has done with the Chargers, and it's like, they could almost have that guy. What a beast he would have been in that system.
Yeah, the job's open, I guess, is what I would say. You know, there's nobody's got that position locked up at this point.
Yeah, that's true. So as far as free agents, of course, yeah, has several unrestricted free agents. Here's we'll just say yes or no. We'll do this on the whether you would take the time to even think about re-signing them. DJ Fluker, that's a yes to me.
Yeah, that's a yes.
J.R. Sweezy.
I like J.R., yeah.
He's better than Posick, who shouldn't be playing, unfortunately. I thought he was going to be good this season, but he was terrible when he played. Mike Davis, it's not even a question mark, because if he gets any money, he's going to go somewhere else, and he should. He's a good back, and if he gets more carries, it'll be – think if he had played in Baltimore, he'd be excellent.
Yep.
Brett Hundley, I mean – I guess it depends on how much they pay him. He fits the system.
That's about the money.
little known guy named Frank Clark. I don't know if he's him, but he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, he should probably already be under contract, just saying.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, oh, God, could you imagine him leaving? Oh, that would be horrible.
Oh.
Deion Jordan. No to me, because he gets hurt too much.
Yeah, no.
Shamar Stephen, who actually was okay, but it depends. To me, it depends on how much money he wants, I think.
Yeah.
Here's the interest. So they have KJ Wright and Michael Kendricks. You're not going to re-sign both those guys. Which one would you re-sign?
I love you, KJ, but you've been getting hurt lately, and I think Kendricks can do just as well of a job, if not better. So I would appreciate your time with the team, but Michael Kendricks.
Yeah, Kendricks did something that Wright can't do. It doesn't consistently do when he was in the games, and that was supply pressure on the quarterback, which you don't normally see from anybody other than a blitzing Bobby Wagner. Kendricks probably didn't cover receivers as well as Wright, but he's a tackling machine. He's also a year younger than Wright, so to me, KJ Wright is such a good person. I hate to say anything about it, but if you're gonna, to me, I guess it comes down to the money. Kendricks probably gonna want less money than Wright does. So if you're paying Kendricks less money to do basically the same thing, that seems like a no-brainer. Exactly,
it's one of those things. You hate to say it, but that's what it is.
Two safeties, Earl Thomas and Maurice Alexander. Both those guys are no, just simply for the money that Thomas wants. And Alexander, okay, whatever.
Bye-bye.
Justin Coleman and Nico Thorpe. Nico Thorpe, I think, will be a Seahawk until he's 57 years old, for whatever reason. He's a good special teams guy. But Justin Coleman, is he like a must re-sign for the slot?
I'd sign him for sure.
Yeah. His agent, who I talked to earlier in the season, or prior to the season, said he was taking a chance that Coleman was going to have another good year like he did last year, and that's why instead of taking a smaller amount for a multi-year deal, they took a bigger amount for a one-year deal, and I think it's paid off. I think he needs to re-sign Justin Coleman.
Yeah, I think they do too. He was solid.
Yeah, and your favorite kicker is Sebastian Janikowski.
AMF, dude. Sorry, but hate to see you go, but adios.
It's almost, I mean, I don't want to say they should move up in the draft to draft a kicker, like did a punter, because I'm not sure there's a Michael Dixon type kicker out there. But that may be something they definitely need to address in a later draft pick to get a kicker.
Yeah, I mentioned that to my buddies. Is that we need if there's a good kicker out there, we probably need to draft one, because I mean, we got a punter forever, and as long as we can afford him, and then we need to get a good kicker. And you know, looking back, maybe we should have kept Hauschka, but you know what happened with that other dude? That was the Myers or that?
Oh what, yeah. It's funny because you never know with kickers in the NFL, right? I mean, they might look like who's the guy? Aurora or whatever. It was Tampa Bay who drafted in the first round, I think. That sounds ridiculous. And now he's like, can't find a job. And then you've got these other guys who don't even get drafted, of course, who become great kickers. It's just one of those strange things. So, because you never really know what you're going to get. Maybe they just have to find the right kicking coach to help them.
Definitely a need for the Seahawks, though. They've got to get a good, solid kicker.
And not a one-year rental again. Something else. Lots of cap space coming up. But, you know, a lot of that cap space could also go to re-signing players like Clark, who's going to make a ton of money no matter where he ends up, hopefully in Seattle. Fluker is going to want more than he had this year, and I think he's earned it. Sweezy, but should Seattle spend a bunch of money on a free agent or two, or should they just focus re-signing these players and then maybe roll some cap space over to next year because you have other players coming up like Russell Wilson, for instance?
What would you do with Russell Wilson? A lot. I don't know. I mean, if there's a good free agent out there, I guess, like we've said 100 times already, it depends on the money. But, I mean, there's – I don't know. I guess, a good free agent safety. But if you're not going to pay Earl Thomas, which Earl Thomas probably doesn't – he's not even going to give him the opportunity to re-sign him, I'm sure. But, I don't know. I guess it just depends on who's out there. But, really, at this point.
So that's our show, our last show, at least of the 2018 season. I mean, we'll be back and talking Seahawks football, but it'll be more about looking forward to 2019. So, Kevin, any final words? And then, of course, you have the last two words.
Well, like I said, I had low expectations and was extremely frustrated at the beginning of the season, the way it started out. But it ended up being a pretty good season, making the playoffs. And the ending was a little rough, losing to the 49ers and barely beating the Cardinals. but they did make it and, made that playoff game close. But I'll look pretty good and looking forward to next season. So go Hawks. Yeah.